Moadim LeSimcha, okay, on this night of our Yaakov Avinu Ushpizin, our daf is daf Memtet, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Memchet Omud Beit. So we've been started off dealing pretty simply with whose das is Choshev, then we got into the question of Shlichut, and whose das can make the Shlichut, then the question of the value of the money, and then the issue of the question of whether the focus on the money would be on the milveh or on the extra pruta, which is also a question of das in terms of the money, not only whose money, whether it has a din of money. And now we're going to enter into something that on the surface is just a simple question, which is the issue of whether somebody was misled and thought that they were getting something other than what was actually given, but it turns out to be a very complex interaction between the dinam of shlichus and the expectations of the das, of the giver and the taker, and it involves, in the end, a very interesting explanation of the Mishnah, which is certainly not intuitive, in which what we're really talking about is a case of how to understand shlichut. So let's take a look at the Mishnah. It's actually because zesho yayin v'nimtza shodvash. The pashtus level is that we have a series of statements that were misleading to the woman. So a guy says to the woman, here I'm giving you a cup of wine. It turns out that it was a cup of honey. Or give me... I'm giving you a cup of honey. Turns out to be a cup of wine. I'm giving you a dinner of kesev. It turns out it's a dinner of zahav. Or he says a dinner of zahav, and it turns out to actually be made out of silver. I mean, you'd think that if it was a better quality, I mean, you couldn't go wrong, right? Well, the Mishnah doesn't hold that. The Mishnah is saying that even if it's better quality, it would not be a kedushin. If a guy says, I'm giving you kedushin on condition that I'm a rich man, turns out he's a poor man. Or if he says on condition that I'm a poor man, it turns out he's a rich man. In any of these cases, ain't a mekudeshes. It's misleading. So we don't say that, well, for sure she would have gone for a rich man. Rabbi Shimon omer im hita'ah l'shevach mekudesh. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, again, this is all the pashtus of the Mishnah. It turns out not to be in any way what it seems to be. But the pashtus of the Mishnah is that Rabbi Shimon is saying, well, I mean, if it's only advantageous, so what would be the problem? If he's giving her gold instead of silver, I mean, so like, she's not going to like that? Or if he's rich instead of poor, she's not going to like that? So, Tani Rabbanan. First of all, the question is the da'at of understanding what's meant by a particular kedushin. So the braita begins with the question of kos, because over here we talk about the kos had, instead of wine, it had honey, and so on and so forth. The question over here is, when somebody gives a kos, does that include the kos? Does it include only the contents of the kos? Is it only the kos? So we have a braita that says like this. Hitkachili because, so there's different prices. One price says, I'm going to give you this cup. It means the cup and whatever is in the cup. And because of that, if it turns out that between the two of them, it's a shavah pruta, so that would also be a good kedushin. But another price says, no, it means the cup. And the cup has to be the shavah pruta, but not what is inside of the cup. Netanya irach b'meshe b'toch v'lobo. The other brayta says, dafka, what's in the cup, has to be the shavah pruta, and the cup itself is not included. So how do we work this out? There's no kasha. They're basically talking about different situations. Rashi understands it as follows. That habamaya, in the brayta, where it's in the case where it was filled up with water. So that's the second brayta. It says that the kos has to be the shavah pruta, and not the water. So since water is not something that the woman would have focused on, those were the days before you had to pay 10 shekel for a little bottle of water. You know, it used to be there were things that were called taps and people would drink from them. So the woman was not really thinking about the value of the water at all. And she understood that the meaning of this cup I'm giving you was the cup, not including value of the water in the cup. So that explains that price. Habachamra, in a case, the third price we were talking about, the only what's in the cup, but the cup not, well, that's very standard. If you give somebody a cup of wine, he doesn't assume that you're giving him the cup. He assumes you're giving him a cup of wine. He drinks the wine, and he hands you the cup back. And that's what we're talking about over here. So if you give a woman a cup of wine, you say, Reb Mekudeshet, so then the normal assumption would be, I'm giving you the wine in the cup, and that would have to be the Shevur Pruta. Masha'in Kain in the Braisa that we brought originally, that's talking about Tziara. And Tziara, Rashi has two, either Tziara is a Lashon of Tzir, meaning Tzir of Dagim, or it's a Lashon of actual of oil, Yitzhar. So we're using Tziara as Yitzhar. But the point is that whatever the case is, it's a case where it's nothing that can be used right away. So if you're giving her like a cup of oil, so what she's supposed to do, pour the oil out into her hands. I mean, so there obviously you mean I'm giving you this cup of oil. It's like saying I'm giving you a bottle of oil, you know? So in that case, if between the two of them, the container and the contents was worth a shavu pruta, then that would be sufficient to be Mekadesh. Okay, now let's take a look at the last part of the mission. So we understood the Parshtas of what Rabbi Shimon was saying, that if she's getting a better deal than she assumed, so then it would be okay. And imi ta'a l'sheva, so he claimed he was poor, but he was really rich. He claimed he was giving her silver, but he was really giving her gold. In all of these cases, Tainis Rabbi Shimon, well then, for sure, it should be okay. Is that so? I mean, there happens to be a Mishnah that nobody argued on, and this is referring to sales. So in sales, if somebody wants to buy wine, it turns out to be vinegar. Well, obviously, the sale is bottled. But how about if it's vinegar? He agreed to purchase vinegar, and it turns out to be wine. And wine is more kosher than vinegar. It makes no difference. Shneihem yecholim lachzor b'hem. In both these cases, the buyer and the seller are able to say that that's not what they intended to do. So apparently, look, there's people who need to have vinegar. I mean, they don't want the wine. I mean, obviously, that can happen. Person needs vinegar for cleaning his countertops. He's not going to be using wine, and vice versa. So if that's the case, if that's true for purchasing things, then why wouldn't it be true in terms of what the da'as of this woman is? Why should you assume that if, in terms of ma'as of abatim, we don't say that, well, but this is more valuable. That's not the point. That's not what I want to buy. I wanted to buy something that was similar. Same thing is true over here. It's certainly possible that if we're dealing with a metal, so maybe she needs gold, or maybe she needs silver. Maybe she's working on a piece of jewelry, and she's missing a little bit of silver, and he's ready to give her the silver. Now he gives her gold. What am I going to do with the gold? I don't need gold now. So it's the same exact halacha. Why would Rabbi Shimon all of a sudden, when it comes to Kedushin, say that that's different than normal Masa V'Matan? Omer of Shimi Barashi, you know what? You're absolutely right. And I actually overheard Abaye, and he was sitting down. He was explaining this Mishnah to his son. He was learning Mishnah with his kid. And the way that he explained it to him was brilliant. He said, we're not talking about a woman who was fooled. We're talking about instructions to a shliach. So what happened over here is a guy says to a shliach, look, I don't have any cash, but I'd like you to do me a favor. Lend me a dinar shel kesev and go and be mekadesh this woman for me. And the guy goes, and instead of lending him a dinner of kesev, he lends him a dinner of zav. So now the question is, how do we understand the instructions to a shliach? Completely different issue. Nothing to do with the das of a purchaser or the das of an ish that's being mocked on herself. What we're interested in discovering is, what did the person mean when he gives instructions to a shliach? Is it kepeda? In other words, I'm telling you this is precisely what I want. Or is it, and this is a gnugaviism, Mar'e makom hulo means, in its classic version, the mar'e makom hulo is actually referring to a place. Because remember we had the Mishnah about, guy says, my wife, give my wife a divorce in such and such a town. So the question is, did he mean that he doesn't want the divorce to be given anywhere else? Or is he just saying she is in such and such a town? So there would literally be Mar'e Makom. The universal application of Mar'e Makom is He's just showing him an easy way to do what needs to be done. That's Rav Maharim Akum. So it's, I'm asking you to lend me money in order to be Mekadosh and Yisha. If you want to, it could be silver. That's basically what he's saying. He's not saying, I insist that it's silver, but not gold. I mean, look, you know, I didn't want to bother you. I mean, obviously, it's a lot fancier if you'd be willing to give her some gold. I mean, it's much more honorable for me, and I'd be even happier, but I'm not insisting. So that is called Mar Emakom Hulo. And this is Gufa, the machlokas that we have over here. The Tanakama holds that when you tell a shliach something, it's kepeda. This is what I want. I don't want you to give me gold. I want you to give me silver and give it to her. But it has nothing to do with her das at all. This is a question of the interrelationships with shlichut, not interrelationships between buyer and seller or mekadesh or mikudeshet. So Mar Sovar, Mar Shenken, Rabbi Shimon holds, Mar Emakom Hulo. He just meant to say, you can do it this way, but, you know, I don't really care. Obviously, I'm happy if you do it even in a fancier way. No. That's it. I mean, you can't read that into the Mishnah, for heaven's sakes. The Mishnah says, Hitkatshili. How are you going to interpret that with Hitkatshili, that he's talking to a shliach? That's ridiculous. I mean, that's not what he should say. He's Katshilo. Make... He was supposed, the shliach should be saying, you should be Mekudesh to such and such a guy with this, which of course doesn't mislead her. He didn't tell anything to her that was misleading. And not only that, why does Rabbi Shimon say, well, if he did mislead her, but it was to a better thing, what do you mean mislead her? He didn't mislead her. He should have said, if the shliach was matei, the person who had sent him, l'shevach, is what it should have said. The way that you're explaining it, it had nothing to do with the woman at all. It was all between the mishaleach and the shliach, right? And then the last piece is really also crazy. And then it turned out, nimtza shelzav. What do you mean, nimtza shelzav? It didn't turn out anything. It was just the decision that the shliach made was to give him gold. Nobody was surprised with the nimtza. It was gold from the beginning. Mikoranami dezov avet. So therefore, what Abaya was teaching was not really backed up by the Lashon here of the Mishnah at all. Elam Arava, okay, I have a different approach. I mean, the idea that Abaya was trying to give over, obviously, we're going to have to say something like that. It's not between the Mekadesh and the woman. It must have something to do with how we understand the shlichut, but you're also right. There's no way to utilize the lashon of the Mishnah in terms of the shliach of the husband. But I have a simple explanation that basically takes a biased approach and makes it work. What it's talking about is that the woman says to her shliach, and she says, listen, there's this guy who told me that he wants to be Mekadosh Bi with a dinner shel kesef. Okay, I'd like you to go and be Mekabel Kedushin for me. And even if he's giving you a dinner shel kesef, that's fine with me. So there was no indication over there that the guy fooled her, because he didn't tell her, I'm going to. He discussed it with her, and he said to me, I'd like to marry you. In the end, he gives her, the shriach gives her, a dinner shel zahav. So the question is, was the woman telling the shliach, I only want kesev, or she was just describing what the guy had said and that she's willing to go along with it? So Mar Sovar Kepeda, same idea as Abaye. Well, Mar Sovar Mar Amakom Hilo, here it would be not Mar Emakom, but Mar Amakom. She is making life easier for him by just saying, you know, you can take that too. I'm willing to go along with it if he wants to give me a dinner kesev. But then when it says Nimtza, isn't that still a problem? And it turns out to be? Why are you saying it turns out to be? No, what it means is that when the shliach actually was given this dinner, it was in an envelope. They didn't know what was in it, right? So, okay, so he takes it, he gives it to her. That's a kind of nimtza. In other words, nobody was involved particularly in doing something that was against instructions. So now the only question is, was the shlichut chal or was it not chal? And that's the overall question of kepeda versus mare makom. So in other words, Rabbi Shimon never said that if it's better than what it was that he told me, that's okay. That wasn't the point at all. So we're turning out over here that I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. The din is that Mara Makom Hilo. So Abaye says you should know, if this is true, now, okay, I mean, this makes sense that it's Begeter Maramakumula. Well, there's actually three Tanoim that definitely hold that idea, and that when something is said to a Shliach, it's not Kepeda, it's Maramakum. And that's Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and Rabbi Elazar. They all hold Maramakum Hula, okay? And Rabbi Shimon, I just showed you, and Rava just showed you, so that it's Maramakum Hula. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that's in a different Mishnah, and that's in Bava Basra, where we have the same basic idea of a get pashut, a dav mitocho. First of all, let's just remember, when we talk about a get pashut, it does not a reference only to a get isha, but we made this takana, if you recall, to make it more difficult for Kohanim, who often get very upset right away, and if they divorce their wives too easily, they can't take them back again because now she's a grusha. So in order to give a cooling off period to Kohanim, so we created this cuckoo get, remember? It has like a blank line and a written line, and maybe two written lines and two blank lines. Anyway, then you fold over the blank lines on the written lines. Then you have to sew it up where you did it. Then you have to get witnesses to sign on the back of every place where you sewed up one of these lines. Okay, so that's called a get mekushar. And that delays the process quite a bit, as you can imagine. And by the time they get to the fifth line, the guy says, ah, the heck with it, and therefore doesn't divorce his wife. So, okay, that was the situation. So there's a general concept of a contract, which is a get pashut, and there's a general concept of a get mikushar. And obviously it's not only a get of an isha, but this is a general concept of contracts bechlal. So the halakha is that the edim are supposed to be on the front page in a normal contract. And on the crazy contract of the mekushar, where it's all sewed up, it's on the back of each fold. So that's on the outside. How about if you had a regular get pashut and you had the edim sign on the back? Or how about if it was a mekushar and you had the edim signed on the front page, which was then sewn up? Both of them are puzzles. So says the Tanakam. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer. Well, now wait a minute. A mekusher that you wrote the edim on the inside would actually be kosher, because what you could do is not sew it up. And if you don't sew it up, all you'll do is you'll have empty lines in between, but you'll have a normal contract and you'll have it signed. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Hakol kiminhag hamedina. Well, it depends, whatever the norm is in that place. Now, what is that supposed to mean? We immediately asked on that. Who would not hold Hakol Kiminhag HaMedina? All transactions are always built on Hakol Kiminhag HaMedina. So what do you mean? The Tanakam doesn't hold Lesley Minhag HaMedina? I mean, that's outrageous. They can't be arguing about that. I mean, if this is what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, what he's saying, I disagree with you because Hakol Kiminhag HaMedina, everybody agrees to that. So what are we arguing about? So the Omer of Hashi, says, we're talking about in a place where there is a minag, both, if, let me explain from the beginning. If the minag is to write a get pashut and he makes a mekusher, or the minag is to always write a mekusher and he makes a get pashut, that's not a shlichut. I mean, he wants things done according to the norm. So over there's no question. He's trying to make things easier for the shliach. He's telling him to do whatever needs to be done in that place. That's for sure. So nobody would say, but again, note that we're now switching the dialogue here to a question of what the din is legabe instructions to a shliach. That's how we get into saying that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that it's a din in Maramaka. So where do we have this machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel? Ki pligi ba'atr d'nehigi bein b'poshet bein mekusha. So we're talking about places where it's common to utilize either type of contract. And the guy says, make me a get poshet, and he goes and he makes him a mekusha. So that is the question. So the Tanakama says, look, when he says, make me poshet, he said exactly what he wanted. I only want a standard get. I don't want a mekusha. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel says, you don't have to go to all the trouble of making me this crazy kind of contract. You could just write even a get pashut. That's how we understand it. That's called Maramakamula. So that means, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you're just showing him a way to do things that is simpler. You're not insisting that he does it as simple as possible. Okay, so that's the second case. We have Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, Abaye had also said that Rabbi Elazar also holds that a Maran Bakamolo. Where is that? That's the mission we had in Gittin, where a woman says, and here it's literally Maramoko, that I mentioned to you, that the classic case is where we're talking about a location. So a woman says to a shliach, go and be makabo my get in this town. And he goes and he finds the husband is in a different town. He takes the get in a different town. So in that case, the get is puzzled, but Rabbi Elazar is makshir. Why? Because Rabbi Elazar understood that when she said, take the get in such and such a town, it's because that's where you're most likely to get my husband to give you the get. I don't care where you get it, right? So Amaka Sever, he also holds Marama Komula Masha Inkin. See, the Tanakama was saying, I don't want people to be talking about me in this other town and so on. A bunch of tongue waggers over there. You only take the get from me in this town. Okay, now, going back to the Mishnah. Omar Ula. So this Machlokas is talking about that Aliba Rabbi Shimon, and the difference between Rabbi Shimon, where we said, and again, we're talking about the Shliach, that the Shliach actually was taking something that was more valuable, and the guy hadn't told her, I'm dafke giving you something that's less valuable, so fine, that was a din in shlichut. But how about if there's a machlokas, if there's a misleading, something that has to do with yuchasim? So what we're talking about over here is that, let's say he tells her, this should be a kedushin. I want you to know that I am a kohen, and he turns out to be a levi, or I am a levi, turns out to be a kohen, that type of thing. So therefore, it's a difference in yuchasim. Over there, the woman is definitely not mekudesha, because she says, this is a beautiful saying, Masana the Rav Mikarai lo be'ina, I don't need shoes that are too big for my feet. Meaning, I don't want to get involved in the kind of marriage where the guy's always going to be sticking it to me. Yeah, you come from a peasant family, you know. What do you know about this? I don't want that kind of thing. So even if it's a better yuchasin, I don't want it. Tanya Amiyachi, Moda Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon agrees that if the mistake was in terms of shevach yuchasin, then she's definitely not mekudeshes because she didn't want that. Rav Ashi, listen, I don't need you guys to make these chidushim. There's no chidush. You can read this directly from the Mishnah. The next piece of the Mishnah, which is on Amud Beis, says like this. Amanach ani kohen v'nimtza levi, levi v'nimtza kohen. Or he says, on condition that I'm a Nisin, remember the Nisinim were the people that had misrepresented themselves, the goyim, and Yehoshua gave them over to be the water drawers, you know, and David HaMelech answered them. He continued that status. Remember, we spoke many times about Locus Rashi and Tosfos. We talk about an Issa D'Oraisa. We're talking about a Gezerah of David because of the way that they acted. In any event, this woman was puzzled in terms of Bia Bakal. So he was saying that, well, I'm a mamzer. It turned out to be a Nisin. And or he was a Nisin. He claimed he's in a scene. Turns out to be a mamzer. In either case, it's not a good kedushin, because notice that in that Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon doesn't say a word. How do you explain that? How come in the first part of the Mishnah, which we just read, Rabbi Shimon makes a big fuss of saying, no, if it's better, then it's better. Well, I mean, it's better to be in a scene than a mamzer, isn't it? I mean, and over here he doesn't say, then it makes a difference if it's better. That means that Rabbi Shimon agrees. You can't bring a raya from the fact that Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue that he agrees, because that Mishnah also says, on condition that I have a daughter or that I have a shivcha who's grown up and could do work in the house and so on, she's megudelet. It turns out he didn't have one. Or on condition that I don't have one, and he does have one. Now, over there, that is Shevach Momon, right? That's not Yuchasin. That's Shevach Momon. And Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue. Okay? So how do you explain that Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue? Because he doesn't need to argue on every case. He argued already on the first case. So the same way that you understand that the argument of Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah clearly is applicable to this Mishnah in the question of whether he owns a good maid or not. I mean, so then if that's the case, maybe it's true about the other part also. Over here, the Shevach Mama, what are you going to say? That Achinami de lo Poli? Of course, Rabbi Shimon argues this is not fundamentally different from the case about the gold or the silver, right? So Ella, what are you going to tell me? Yeah, because he argued in the first part of the Mishnah. Doesn't need to argue in the second. Okay, so then if that's the din, so you're relying on the argument before. So how do you know that that's not true about the Kohen and the Levi or the Netin and the Mamzer? It should be the same thing, right? Poli Bereisha, Vuhu Adin LaSeifa. Oh, come off it, man. That's not the same at all. If the case is that it's also a Shevach Mamai, so then there's no need to argue. But you introduce a completely new issue, for God's sake. You're introducing here another question about Shevach Yuchsin. So what, are we supposed to figure out ourselves that it is not an issue? It's the same as Mamon? Obviously, he would have to address that. How come he doesn't say anything? I'll tell you why he doesn't say anything, because he doesn't argue. That's why. So he relies on what you know about his sheet about Shevach Mamon. And he wants to make it very clear. Look, I agree with the Tanakhama about putting on shoes that are too big for your feet. Exactly. So, look, either part of the mission that's dealing with Shevach Mamon is the first part or the second part. So over there, obviously, what Rabbi Shimon has to go tell you every single case. He makes it very clear that he disagrees. If it's for the better, it's for the better. But over here, when you introduce this new idea of Shevach Yochasim, I mean, if Lamaisa, he argues, he should say so, because there are obviously other factors involved over here. And therefore, Imita the Polik Nisnei, since he doesn't, therefore it's clear that he agrees with the Tanakhama. Exactly. Or, you know what, I can tell you another case. It's very possible. I think this even makes more sense. You're assuming that that case about the Shivcha is a monetary issue. It's not. And you misunderstood what a Shivcha or a Bat that is Gadelet. You thought that it meant that she's old enough to work? No. It meant that she's hoity-toity is what it meant. She's a fancy lady. And that's the pshat. It's also talking about Shevach Yuchasin. What did you think? Megudelet means that she's like 13 years old, so she could do stuff? No. Megudelet means she's a gadelet. She's like this very fancy woman. People take her very seriously. So then the woman says, hey, man, I don't want a fancy woman in the house, you know? That's all we need. Is she's going to have all of her contacts, and she's going to be going around talking to everyone in town about things that go on between me and you, and she's going to turn me into a laughing stock. I have to keep up with some fancy shivka. Excuse me. You can go marry some European wife and let her take your fancy shivka. Okay, so that Tosis, by the way, understands migadelet, like the Gemara in Chagiga, that migadelet sari de nashaya, meaning she's a hairdresser. Oh, gosh. Only her hairdresser knows for sure. So that's the problem. She's going all over town. And what do they do when they're dressing the hair? Blah, 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 blah. Every piece of news gets all over town. I do not want a shivcha or a daughter who is a hairdresser. You know, Naftali, the hairdressing was not meant as an insult to your new haircut. I actually thought it was okay. You don't have to leave. It's good. It's good. I like the haircut. Okay, so that's what she's saying. I don't want this blabbed all over town. The Omrahi, because then the woman says, listen, no lechali de shakla milaminai. I don't want her taking my words and spreading it all over town. And then she's going to spread it around all the neighbors. Tana Rabbana. Let's take now how we understand the way that a woman is relating to different things that you say. Okay, so the guy says, okay, look, I want you to be Mekudeshet on condition. I know you think that I'm an idiot and I don't know anything. I'm telling you, I am a Karyana. Okay, if a guy knows how to read three psukim to Beit HaKnesset and he once did that, So Zechariah, I managed to read it, you know. So that's good enough. Harezim Ukadeshes. Reb Yudah says, no, just reading, what is he, an Ashkenazi? He has to read it and also say the Targum. You can't just read. Who does that? What do you mean? Your Targum? What do you mean Targum? You mean on his own? He should translate it? That's it. You're not supposed to translate it on your own. But Tanya, I thought the same Reb Yudah says, somebody who goes ahead and he's mitargem literally. So he's mitargem pasuk etzurato. He's a phony. And if he adds explanations, so then he's a mecharef and a megadef, and he's mamish going out against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's say we have the pasuk is what the Rishonim here bring. Lo sa'aneh al riv, which we say that you're not supposed to say something, a number of different pshatim, right? Not to argue with the Gadol Shebe Beis Din, to be afraid to argue, and that's why we were pesachin min hatzad and dinei nefashas, and you have to be ready to stand up for your opinion. And this guy says lo san el riv means don't be a witness in arguments. It's like the exact opposite. You're mechuyev to be a witness, right? And stuff like that. So that means you're a badoy. And if you add something, then it's mamish saying things that are against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're saying all kinds of strange pshatim of your own, as opposed to unklus. Unklus, the things that unklus adds were there as something that was given even at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. That's not called Hosef Midaite. So, okay, that's one upshot. The Rabbi Nochanano brings that the point is somebody's betargim kitzurotzai. He literally translates. It says, "Vayiru et Elohei Yisrael." They saw the God of Israel. What do you mean you saw God? That's insane, isn't it? What's that supposed to mean? First of all, it says, "Lo yareini Adam v'chai," and then secondly, what kind of possible tzura do you see? So, and if he adds, let's say he says, "They saw a malach from the Lord." That's mamash b'charef from Meganef. This is the vision of what it was that they were supposed. They were supposed to have seen a gilui shchina is the meaning, which is what the targum is. That the targum always is a targum. That yikra de Elokai Yisrael, the chashivas of Elokai Yisrael, the gilui hashchina. So no matter what you do, if it means to be metargem, either by adding something or by making it a targum that is literal, it's a horrible thing. So how in the world would we say that that's what it is that he has to do in order to be called a karyana? No, of course it doesn't mean that. When Rabbi Yonah said he meant you're supposed to be giving over the targum onklets like a nice Tamani kid. That's what he meant. I mean, you can't even keep up with a four-year-old? Okay, behind me, like, but this is only if he said I'm a karyana. Now, if he says that I am a kara, oh, kara, that's already somebody who is mamish, a mumcha in Kriya of Tanakh. Over there, he has to be able to read without making any mistakes. Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, with all of the diyukim, that's what it means to be a kara. So sometimes we give the name of Rabbi Yosef Karo or something, not referring to Rabbi Yosef Karo, where Gavi lives in his home. I'm talking about the kara, right? So we find that the Gemara sometimes utilizes the word kara, and kara means that he's a big expert. What about another thing? If a guy says, Amanach ani shoneh, now, shoneh is not the same as kara, which has to do with mikra. Shonas has to do with Mishnah. So what does it mean? So Chizkiyahu Omer, that means halachot. So it means I am shoina all of the halachot l'meshem Sinai. That's what Rashi says. And Rabbi Yochanan says, it means that he knows Torah. Torah? What do you mean? Chomesh? I thought we said a Zohi Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer Halachas, Rabbi Yudah Omer Midrash, which are the Midrashim that give birth, like the Sifri and the Sifra and the Mechilta and so on, that from there were Derech. But so what, Rabbi Yochanan is arguing on Rabbi Meir and on Rabbi Yudah on something that is Muskam by everyone? No, obviously not. When Rabbi Yochanan said Torah, he meant Midrashei Torah. He was specifically talking about the Mechilta, the Sifra, the Sifri, That's what he meant. You need to know the halakhas, where they come from, and understand the diyukim in the Torah, and therefore he's basically saying like Rabbi Yehuda. But this is only if he said that to Nina, if he said, I'm a Tana. Oh, now, wait a minute. To be a Tana, you need to know everything. Yelchasa, Sifra, Sifri, Tosefta. You've got to know everything in how it works out. La halacha. That's a completely different thing. Amanat Shani Talmid. How about if you say, I'm a Talmid? So what does that mean? I'm a Talmid of Torah. Look, you know, Ben Azai is a Talmid because he never got married. He never got smicha. And he kept himself as a Talmud as well. He doesn't have to be like Ben Azza, I guarantee you. He doesn't have to be like Shimon ben Zayma either. They were both the same and refused any kind of smicha and so on. And they were the Gedolei Ador, right, by far. And so what does it mean, therefore, when you say that you're a Talmud? It means you could ask him even in the place that everybody is learning now. Let's say, by the time of the Yomim Tovim. So it was the 30 days before everybody would gather, they would have the Meseches Kala, they would choose something that they were learning, which were the halachas of that Chag and so on. And even if that's what he's learning, so then if he's able to answer questions over there, it means that he's a Talmud, and you know, at least he's got some idea of how to learn. And this is one approach. Now, the other approach is, which is, I've mentioned this many times, Machlokas of Rashi and Tosfos and different Mesechtas that have different, there's a Mesechet Kala, not the Mesechet of the Kala time, which is chosen according to the Yom Tov. So, you know, let's say for Sukkot, they would choose, let's do the fourth Perek of Sukkot. That would be the Mesechet Kala. There is an actual Braisa, which is called the Mesechet Ketanot. And it starts with the word kala below bracha, zasur, labala, and so on, like Anita. Fine. So this guy went out, and that's like a very simple thing to learn, and that's what he learned. Even Meseches Kala would be one way of doing it. But in other places, Rashi is mashma. Well, nobody reads those braises. This guy even went out and got. So then, filum Meseches Kala would mean dafket something that nobody else knows. Okay. So, different approaches. How about if he says, I'm a Nat Shani Chacham? What do you think he has to be, like Rabbi Akiva? They know Mrim Kichach Me Yavne, Rabbi Akiva V'Chavei Rav. It's Kol Shishalim Oto Dvar Chochma B'Chol Makom Gomra. So basically, he can answer a question that requires a lot of Svara. He doesn't have to go through a whole big Bechina to get like the equivalent of what they call Smicha today. If he understands how to derive halacha and give a hirah based on his learning, then that's enough. And that's called a chocham. How about if he says, I am a gibor? What do you think he has to be? Shimshana gibor. Ein omrim ka'avner bener, ki yo'av ben tsruya. It's good enough for him to be like Moshe Forman. Kol shechaverav mityarim imenu mipnei gvurato. You know, if you can lift 150 kilos and more, that's enough. So wherever people are scared of the guy, that's okay. How about if he says, I'm rich? He doesn't have to be rich like Reb Elazar ben Charsom. Remember, we had his father left him 1,000 ships on the sea and 1,000 cities on, you know, not exactly. Or not like Reb Elazar ben Azari that gave 12,000 tzon for his miser every single year. The guy's rich enough to always give him shishi. Whatever, so they give him this covet because he's rich. How about if he says, Amanat Shanit Sadiq? Even if he's a Rosha Gomer, he's Mikudeshes. What? Yes, because Shemahira Chuva Bedato. If the guy is saying, Amanat Shanit Sadiq, I mean, look, he's not crazy. I mean, he's known to be a murderer. So apparently he's got some thoughts of Chuva, so it's reasonable to say. And once he already had in mind that he's going to be doing teshuvah, so he's already considered to be a tzaddik. That's his current status. It doesn't mean tzaddik in terms of the din and so on. It just means, what is he now? You know, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked the Malachim, well, what are you saying about Yishmael now? Tzaddik, it doesn't mean that they added din on him. Right now, he's okay. You know, he's like a guy that's all right. How about if he says, Amanat Shani Rasha? It's the same thing. Even if the guy is a tzaddik gomor, if he had made up his mind that he's going to be doing Avodah Zarah, and he was Mahar Dvar Avodah Kechavim B'Daita, so then right now he is like a Rasha. So now we're talking about issues that are chashuv in terms of a person or in terms of a group of people, in terms of a yichus. So the Gemara wants to point out that there are indeed things that stand out in various places that are part of the way people look at the individual that they're going to marry. So let's say, Asara kabin chokhma yordu la'olam. Tisha natla eretz Yisrael, v'achad kol olam kulo. The level of chokhma in the world is 9/10 located in Eretz Yisrael. The rest of the world took one. There were 10 kavim of beauty that were yordu la'olam. Tisha natla Yerushalayim, v'achad kol olam kulo. There were 10 kavim of Ashirus that were yordu la'olam. 9 of them went to the Roman Empire. The rest was divided among the rest of the world. Asara kavin anius yordu la'olam. And 9 of them went to Babel, and 1 of them went to Kol HaTorah Kulo. We're going to be talking about this in a minute. And then there were 9 kavim of gasus, chutzpah, and arrogance, yordu la'olam. Tisha natla elam, so elam, that's the Iranians, man. V'yachot kol olam kulo. What? Wait a minute. You're telling me that Gasut went to Elam, but the Pasuk says that Gasut went to Bavel. Gasut, Bavel, Anochis? You're saying that Gasut never went down to Bavel. How do you understand the amazing story in the Pasuk of Zechariah? So he sees these women that have wings on them, and they take this Eifa, which Lamaisa was the Yetzer Hara. This has everything to do with the story on Sukkot, with Mavato, the Yetzer Hara. They took the Yetzer Hara and they put it into this sealed lead container. And then Zechariah sees that there are these women on wings and they're carrying this Eifa away. And there are these two women, Vinei Shtayim Nashim Yotzot, and they've got Ruach B'Chanfeihem, they've got the wind in their wings, and they had like wings of a chasida, a stork. Now, a chasida is a big fake, because a chasida, the Gemara says, why is a chasida called a chasida? Not because she delivers babies, but because a chasida is osa chesed im chavroteh. Yes, they have a genetic program. They only share with their friends, right? And they won't share with anybody else. So she looks like she's this really wonderful. It's all a fake out. It's a bunch of chanifa.
Okay. The birds of a feather flock together.
Right. So there they are. And they're carrying this eifa, Beina Arts of Beina Shamayim. And I asked the Malach, says Zechariah. I asked the Malach that had been talking to me before, where are they going with that eifa? So he says to me, leave notla bayit be'eret shinar. They want to build a home for it in Shinar. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, what was in these, why these two chasidot? Because one of them was carrying chanifa, and one of them was carrying gasut haruach. So they had both this phoniness, one of them was phoniness, and the other one was chutzpah and arrogance, and they went to Bavel. So, and you're telling me that, no, actually, it landed in Elam. I didn't say it landed in Elam. I said Elam took 9/10. It's true, it landed in Bavel. So for a while, it was in Bavel, but it rolled down to Elam in the course of time, and that's where it landed. But it ended up in Elam. Dekanami, you can see that if you look very clearly. It says, leave note la by it. How come it says leave note la by it? First, it was saying that there were these two women, and one of them was carrying the chanifa, and the other one was carrying the gasut haruach. And then it says, we're only going to be building one home. I only build one home for both. It must be that only one of them settled in Bavel. The other one never got around to building a home and ended up going somewhere else. So, Shema Amina, there's other ways of being Medayik also. But okay, that's the simple way. But wait a minute. Is this real? You say that Amamar Simen Legasut Aniyut. I'm confused. You said that the Aniyut went to Bavel. And the Simen of Gasut, meaning that the more Gas people are, the more arrogant they are, so then the more they're going to show up as being poverty-stricken. So then you have a contradiction. If Anias is in Bavel, so then Gasus Aruach is also in Bavel. No. There's two different types of Aniyut. When we talk about over here that Simen Legasut Aruach is Anias, we're talking about Aniyut Torah. We're talking about people that don't know Torah. So over there, if, in fact, you're arrogant, then you're going to have very little Torah. And we know that the Torah always goes to a place which is lower. And the more arrogant a person is, the less he's capable of learning, the less he's willing to have his assumptions questioned, and the less open-minded he is, and he ends up not knowing anything because he thinks he knows everything. So because of that, it makes sense to say that the Simen Legasut Aruach is Anias of Torah. That's a different issue. And we know that that's true because there's this beautiful pasuk that says, Achot lanu ketana v'shadayim ein la. So in Shir HaShirim, we have this little sister, and she doesn't have any breasts. So what is that referring to? Om Rabbi Yochanan, the little sister, refers to Elam, where over there that was part like of Bavel, and you'd think that, look, Daniel and Mordechai were both there, Shushan, which was like the biggest city in Elam, right? Sheve Lama Medina. They were big Talmid Chachomim, and they didn't have anybody to teach, because everybody was so stuck up. So there was no teaching anybody to have any kind of Torah. And that's why there are no breasts, because breasts, remember, that's Keneged Moshe V'Aharon and the nourishment that the Torah provides. And therefore, if we say it's consistent, this remez of breasts to Torah, and that therefore, if it says that she has no breasts, it's clearly referring to an inability to teach. And that's exactly what we find in Elam. Anyway, getting back to these different things. There were 10 kabim of Gevurah, you said. 9 of them go to the Persians. There were 10 kav of lice. Oh, 9/10 of the lice in the world goes to Madai. Only one out of 10 the rest of the world gets. And then there was a Sarah kav and Kshafim. We know where that went. Tish'a natla Mitzrayim, like Rashi says. What? Shafim ata machnis. We are the experts on Kshafim. Asara kabim digaim yodula Allah. There are these horrible diseases. Well, 90% of them went to pigs, and the rest of the world gets away with 1, 10%. Ti asara kabim znus yodula Allah. Tisha natlu Arabia. We know the Arabs are the experts in promiscuity. Asaraka bin Azus Yardula Olam. Azus is just pure chutzpah. Tisha Natla Meshan. Asaraka bin Sikha Yardula Olam. Women, they took 90% of the talking in the world and left 10% for men. Asaraka bin Shikhrut Yardula Olam. And then there were 10 levels of drunkenness. 90% went to the Kushim. The rest of the world only got 10%. Asaraka bim shena yardul olam. Ah, who do you think got all of that? The avodim. They're always sleepy. So tisha natlu avadim. You'll always find an avod fast asleep. Ve'echad natlu kol olam kulo. Anyway, so you should know what you're in store for if you're talking about various yichusim. So we'll see you bezrat Hashem. It's wonderful to see everyone. Mo'adim l'simcha, chagim uzmanim l'sason, and looking forward to seeing you in the morning. Bezrat Hashem.